time now for your comments. First, a correction of a term that was used in a newscast earlier this month. Israeli military officials were quoted as saying they had arrested 12 men who were wanted militants, but the actual phrase used by the Israeli military was wanted terrorists. Many of you were angry with the story on illegal immigrants wanting to attend college in this country. Dave Kranz of Sacramento writes, "As the parent of a college-bound senior, I know how fierce the competition can be for admission and financial aid. Strikes me as inconceivable we would consider extending those privileges to illegal immigrants when those same privileges cannot be offered to qualified citizens or legal immigrants." Navy Captain Frank Thorpe, spokesman for the Joint Chiefs of Staff Chairman General Richard Myers, took issue with a recent story on congressional questions about Iraq war funding. Thorpe says the story may have left listeners with the false impression that election year politics was affecting funding for troops in Iraq. While the White House's proposed 2005 budget does not include funding requests for operations in Iraq or Afghanistan, Thorpe writes that your report did not make it clear this is the way the budget process works every year. There are too many unknowns during combat. The costs are simply unknowable. Thorpe says the military leadership is identifying and taking action on the budget needed for operations in Iraq, Afghanistan, and around the globe. Jeff Hoffber, executive director of the American Water Works Association, sent this comment about the two-part series on lead in Washington, D.C.'s drinking water. He writes, "Lead contamination in homes never comes from treatment plants or water mains. It largely results from corroding home plumbing or service lines. Utilities must address lead levels system-wide through corrosion control." A comment by Cokie Roberts in an interview about her new book, Founding Mothers, brought a question from Susan Lawrence, a librarian in Sycamore, Illinois. She writes, "According to the sources in our school library, Mary Catherine Goddard was not a signer of the Declaration of Independence, though Goddard was indeed the first newspaper editor to publish the document with the names of the signers. Did Cokie misspeak?" Goddard did not put her signature on the Declaration of Independence, but Goddard's name does appear, in print, on one version of that document. To see it, Morning Edition made a trek to its local library. Rosemary Fry Plakas is curator of rare Americana at the Library of Congress. The declaration in question is usually there. It is now on tour, but Plakas brought up a copy of it on the computer.
You would scroll all the way down to the very bottom of the document where it's listed, printed by Mary Catherine Goddard.
As the printer of that document, Goddard put her name on it in block letters. You won't find it on the most famous version of the Declaration of Independence at the National Archives. Plakas says Goddard's name appeared only on a version that was printed about 6 months later in January of 1777.
In order to make a strong statement about their intention to proceed in this revolution, they decided in Congress that they would do a second printing of the Declaration and include all of the members' names.
A picture of that version of the Declaration with Goddard's name at the bottom can be viewed on the website of the Library of Congress. Send your comments to morning@npr.org or call the listener comment line at 202-842-5044. Please say where you live and how to pronounce your name.